Hello, everybody. It's David Getoff again, board-certified clinical nutritionist and vice president of the Price-Pottinger Nutrition Foundation. You know, as I look at more and more articles come out that, for lack of a better way to categorize them, I'll just call them anti-vitamin. If I were a conspiracy theorist, I would say that the pharmaceutical companies are seeding all of the different media publications with articles that they have written and saying, hey, you put one of your author's names on this and put it out, and we'll pay you a bunch of money, maybe like an advertising fee, even though it won't be an advertisement, because we really need this kind of information to go out there to the public. Now, I'm hoping that that's not what's happening. I really do not want to think that that's what's happening. But this is getting to be disgusting. The number of articles in mainstream magazines, the one that somebody just sent me today, is actually in Popular Science magazine. I wouldn't think of seeing an article in Popular Science on vitamins. But I guess, you know, nutrition and medicine are a science, and I guess you could call this a popular science. In any event, the amount of arrogant ignorance, misleading information, and actually harmful information, where people that listen to what some of these articles are talking about could actually greatly harm themselves by staying away from a nutrient that might be able to prevent a deadly disease, and instead some silly, poorly written argument scares them, and so they become afraid of the disease. So let me ramble on a little bit here on a couple of different things and then go specifically into this particular anti-vitamin D article in Popular Science magazine, which somebody just sent me, by Sarah Chodosh. I'm probably mispronouncing her name. Posted June 20th, 2017 at 12 p.m. is what it says. And the title is, "More People Than Ever Are Taking Way Too Much Vitamin D. You might have a deficiency, but overdosing isn't the answer." That's the title of this article. So before I start to dissect this ridiculous article, and I know we're not supposed to use words like this when we're discussing things, but I'm going to call it ridiculous and stupid, and arrogant and ignorant. There's some information that people really need to understand having to do with vitamins. First of all, let's take a look at research that's been done and published in mainstream medical journals on the deadly effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And there have been quite a number of different research articles. I think the one that's quoted the most often shows that approximately, and it varies from year to year, but approximately 160,000 Americans die each year as a direct result of a correctly prescribed prescription drug. Now, it's listed that way, as a correctly prescribed prescription drug, because sometimes some physician, hopefully just from lack of knowledge, prescribes a drug that never should have been prescribed because the patient was also on some other drug and the interactions have been shown to be fatal. But we're not talking about those. We're talking about 160,000 people a year dying from correctly prescribed prescription drugs. That's amazing. That makes medicine and pharmaceutical drugs, depending on which article you look at, somewhere between the second and third largest cause of death in the United States. And if you want to read more about that, by the way, one of the best articles ever written on it is entitled Death by Medicine, and they gave me permission to post it on my website. So if you go to the published article section of my website at davidgetoff.com, you will find Death by Medicine, written by a few MDs and a few PhDs, and you can read it yourself. I'm not going to go over it here. The point is that there have been quite a number of research studies done on the numbers of people that are killed every year by pharmaceutical drugs, mostly prescription, but certainly also non-prescription, which are called OTC or over-the-counter, because it means you can purchase them without a prescription. So, for example, Tylenol and aspirin, I believe the current rates of death attributable to these two are somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 to 3,000 per year. Now, that's pretty high for a a substance that people can just walk in and buy over the counter. Now, if you instead look for articles in which they are trying to talk about the number of deaths per year people directly related to nutrients, to nutritional supplements is the way it's usually worded. And you can take a look at the United States. There was one study done in the United Kingdom and Great Britain. But all the ones I've looked at show that the number of deaths per year related to nutritional supplements varies between the normal, which is zero, and every once in a while there is one. Usually it's related to a bad supplement that was actually contained something it shouldn't. In other words, a contaminated supplement. So that doesn't even count. But there have been a number of articles written where they simply look at deaths attributable to different causes. And it's got car accidents and lightning strikes and shark attacks and all these various different things. Various different pharmaceuticals is usually rated at somewhere between 100 and 160,000 per year. And nutritional supplements usually is somewhere between zero and one. So you're more likely probably to die walking across the street and getting hit by a car or lightning than you are by a nutritional supplement. And yet, for some reason, and again, I wonder whether there are people that are funding these articles on purpose to try and scare people so that they'll stay away from vitamins because, God forbid, you should get healthier and not need the doctor. I mean, I really don't know what's going on. But whatever it is, let's say, to be gentle, it pisses me the hell off. So let's get back to this particular article. And it isn't different than others. There are many articles that have been written in the last 6 or 8 months about stay away from vitamin D. It can hurt you. So I can't read the article because that would be a copyright violation. But luckily, you are allowed to read parts of an article that's covered by our freedom of speech. So let's see, the beginning of the article here, it says, vitamins seem like something you can't have too much of, like too much ice cream on a sticky summer day. Really? I mean, what is somebody's comparing vitamins to ice cream? Ice cream is sugar, massive sugar. Ice cream is bad for because it increases and causes problems with cancer, diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and they're comparing vitamins to that? That's a little weird. Then it says, but just like ice cream, vitamin D can have negative side effects. Ice cream has lots of negative side effects. Vitamin D, that would be really, really, really hard. Then a little bit later in the article, it says, the tricky thing about, quote, medicines, unquote, like vitamin D, is that you don't immediately overdose on them. I'm sorry, but you may not classify vitamin D as a medicine. Even stupidly in this article, that's just totally ridiculous. Vitamin D is not a medicine. A doctor might prescribe it. I might recommend to one of my patients that they take it, especially if their vitamin D test is low, but it is not a medicine. Then they've got things in here. Let's see. We'll go down further in this article. It says, and a new study in the Journal of the American Medical Association suggests, okay, that means that article doesn't even prove anything. It just says, oh, this might happen. Suggests that 3.2% of all Americans are doing just that. In other words, taking too much vitamin D. So I'm looking for the little number that would be there after the words, the Journal of the American Medical Association. Usually in a good article that's written, there's a little 1 or a 2 or an A or a B. And you go to the end of the article and they have a reference to what's called a citation, and it tells you what study they're talking about, so I can pull the study, read it, and see what it really said. Nope, no citation. They're not going to give you a clue where they're getting that information from. Then later in the article, it says about 18% of U.S. adults are taking at least 1,000 international units a day. Okay, I would hope so. I mean, that's a very good idea. Then it says that that's well above the recommended daily dose of 600 international units. Well, the problem is that the recommended daily dose, some of us in the nutrition field call it the recommended deadly doses, because the recommended doses from the Food and Nutrition Board and other government agencies are so below the amount required for health for almost every vitamin that they're pretty much meaningless and shouldn't be looked at by anybody, although, of course, they are looked at by a lot of people. And there is actually a group of scientists, and they make up the Vitamin D Research Council. And you can go to vitamindcouncil.org and take a look at some of their research. You can take a look at some videos by some of them. And this group of people, and I've listened to quite a number of them, Dr. Voigt, Dr. Hollick, Dr. Canal, who I believe is still the president of the council, they're doing massive amounts of research on vitamin D and finding all the things that this vitamin can do as far as health. But let's take a look at some more stuff in this stupid article. It says, with most vitamin-related issues, the answer is that it's probably not harmful to take them, but that you really don't need them. You must be kidding. Doesn't the author of this study know that you can't classify a substance as a vitamin unless it's required for long-term human health? And less deficiency disease could actually come from too little of it. So to say you don't really need vitamins is a little bit ridiculous. We all need vitamins. It couldn't be classified as a vitamin if we didn't need it. So now the question is, but do we need extra vitamins? And it turns out that there are published research studies that have shown that over the last, and one says 50 years, one says 70 years, one says 100 years, the amount of nutrients in our foods has decreased in some foods by 50%, in some foods by 60 or 70%, in some foods by 80%. And the reason is because we're hybridizing the foods to produce more of that particular vegetable, or to have more white meat in that chicken, or any of a number of different things. We're not hybridizing them to make them more nutritious. So we're making them do things that doesn't benefit the public. It benefits the company that's producing them so that they don't go bad as fast, so you can make more of them, etc. So we're getting less vitamins and less minerals in our food. And because of electromagnetic fields and pollution and different chemicals in our environment and chlorine in our water and fluoride in our water, all sorts of other different things we're exposed to, we actually are needing every couple of years or maybe every couple of decades greater amounts of nutrients to help the body protect us from the greater amounts of poisons we're exposed to, and yet we're getting lesser amounts in our foods. So we take a look at this, and it says further in this woman's article, studies can't agree on an exact number, but around 30 to 40% of U.S. adults don't get enough vitamin D from their diet. Now, I don't know where in the heck this author got that number, that studies don't agree, but around 30 to 40% of U.S. adults don't get enough vitamin D. Because if I wanted to know about vitamin D, I might go to the Vitamin D Research Council. Those are the expert scientists that are specifically researching vitamin D. And having listened to at least three of them on numerous occasions at my medical conferences and nutritional conferences, I can tell you that that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is that if you get a vitamin D3 test, which is called 25-hydroxyvitamin D, that's the name of the vitamin D3 test, if you get that done, you will take a look at what's called a reference range, where the laboratory tells you how much is normal. Now remember, I did not say healthy. I did not say adequate. I said normal. What is normal? Normal is what they find in everyday people. Even if most of them are deficient, it's called normal, because it is normal. You check 1,000 people, and that's the normal range. So it says normal is 30 to 100. I don't even find that to be normal. I find most people to be much lower. But that's what they call normal. The normal values for vitamin D3 on a lab test are 30 to 100. Now, the Vitamin D Council scientists, which, as I said, I have listened to at least three of them talk, some of them on numerous occasions, have all agreed that the 30 at the bottom of that is too low for long-term health, that there are too many disease conditions that if your number is 30, you don't have enough to prevent those conditions. Now, they do disagree on where the number should be, so I will say that, but that's not what this paper said. Some of them think we should have at least 45. Some of them think we should have at least 50. One or two of them that I've spoken to have said, well, I keep mine between 60 and 80. Well, what do you tell people? Well, I tell people between 50 and 100, but I keep mine over 60. Okay, so they can't agree how much might be great for everybody because, hey, we're all individuals. But when you bring the number at the low end of that range, which right now is 30, if you bring it up to 45, which they seem to all agree, the scientists seem to all agree, that we should have at least 45 as our number on the vitamin D3 test. And if you then test thousands and thousands and thousands of people around North America, which they have, you find, according to what I remember from Dr. Canal's lecture, that 85% of the public is deficient at the 30 level, but if you go to 45, which they pretty much all believe it should be, at least that number for health, then over 90% of the public is deficient. So when it says in this silly, I keep wanting to say stupid, I know those are not words we're supposed to use, but I'm sorry, that 30 to 40% of U.S. adults don't get enough vitamin D from their diet. No, the scientists that I would have to put my faith in, because that's all they do is vitamin D research, they don't say that 30 to 40% don't get enough D. They say that between 85 and 90 plus percent don't get enough vitamin D from their diet and sunlight. So I don't know where in the hell the author got that number. What does it say lower here? It says cover up and avoid skin cancer. That's not what the vitamin D research scientists are saying. They're saying one of the reasons our skin cancer rate is so high is because we cover up and we therefore don't get enough vitamin D. Personally, I want my patients to get as much sunlight as they want, as long as they don't stay out so long that they burn. As long as they're not burning, they're making vitamin D, and that's fine. I don't want them to burn. So now I'm looking further down in this ridiculous article, and it says, one double-blind clinical trial actually found that vitamin D supplements made elderly patients more likely to fall and fracture a bone. I would really like to see that citation, because I don't think there is such a study. I think that was some stupid thing extrapolated out of some other study, and that if I looked at it, I could show you how fictitious that statement is. But they didn't put a citation in. They didn't even say which journal it was, so I can't even go hunting for it. That's very, very poor writing. So we look a little bit further, and it says, you certainly don't need more than 1,000 international units a day of vitamin D. There is no evidence that taking vitamin D supplements can cure or prevent osteoporosis or bone fractures. I never said that one vitamin could cure or prevent a disease. There are many, many different nutrients that are necessary in order to help reverse osteoporosis in the body or build up enough bone that somebody is less likely to get a bone fracture. But this ridiculous statement that you certainly don't need more than 1,000 international units, if you listen to, again, Dr. Canal, because he's the head of the Vitamin D Research Council, he generally has recommended, unless he's changed in the last week, that most people need 4,000 units a day. Or 5,000 units a day. And what everybody listening to this recording needs to understand is if somebody were to ask, how much water should I put on my plant? That's a really silly question. What plant? How much air circulation is around the plant? What is the temperature of the environment around the plant? How many leaves does the plant have? Is the plant getting full sun or partial sun? Is it a plant that uses more water than other plants? In other words, just saying how much water should I put on my plants is a really ignorant statement. Just like saying you certainly don't need more than 1,000 units of vitamin D. Well, is there a vitamin D test? There is. Like I said, it's called 25-hydroxy vitamin D. And let's take, for example, that the Vitamin D Council scientists are correct. They've done a lot of research over many, many years. And that is that depending on which one you want to listen to, for health long-term and to prevent different conditions, you want your vitamin D to be above 45 on that test. And again, personally, I want my patients to be between 60 and 80, but let's go down to 45. So, how much vitamin D do you need to take? Who knows? It is impossible to determine the amount of vitamin D anybody needs to take. Just like you can pour water on a plant, and if it's not enough, the plant is still wilted. And you put some more on, and it's still wilted, and you put some more on, and now the plant perks up. Okay, now you have an indication. So how do we know how much vitamin D somebody should take? Very important question, because vitamin D is massively important for long-term health. And the answer is you ask your doctor to do a 25-hydroxy vitamin D test on you. If your doctor says, I don't run those tests, I think they're silly, then you go online and you go to walkinlabs.com, privatemdlabs.com, directlabs.com, or any of the other labs where you can order a vitamin D3 test on yourself. It'll cost you somewhere between $50 and $75, and you get the test done, and you see what your number is. Now, if you're in the United States, the number is based in nanograms per milliliter. That's NG for nanograms per ml for milliliter. If you're in a European country or a metric country, even Canada, it's nanomoles per liter. That's a different reference standard. I am not talking about that standard. So when I say I want my students and my patients to be between 60 and 80, and the Vitamin D Research Council people are saying above 45 and some of them higher, those numbers are nanograms per milliliter. If you're listening to this and you're in a metric country, you need to go to a conversion chart online to see what that converts into. So let's say you get your vitamin D test back, and it says, and I've seen these numbers very, very often, it says you're at 18, or you're at 22, you're at 31, or you're at 7. I've had a couple that have come back ND, Nancy David, ND, stands for none detected. So now you want to start taking some vitamin D. Well, if you started taking less than 1,000, because this stupid article says you certainly don't need more than 1,000, so maybe you started taking 800 units a day, and you took that for 3 months and you get your D retested, most people's level will be exactly where it was before, because for most people, 800 isn't enough to move you. So I usually tell people, begin by taking somewhere between 2,000 and 5,000 a day. Take it every day with a good meal, preferably a meal with fats in it so it'll be absorbed correctly. And do that every day for 90 days. And at the end of 90 days, you will have leveled off at whatever level the dose you're taking daily is going to hold you at. Go get your D tested again. So let's say you started out at 18, and I'm making these numbers up because I don't know what you're going to be at. I'm just giving you examples from the hundreds or thousands of people I have worked with. So let's say you started out at 18, you started taking 4,000 a day, and after 90 days you tested again, and instead of being at 18 nanograms per milliliter, now you're at 38. All right, then the 4,000 a day you're taking isn't adequate to put you in the range of above 45, or in my healthy range, of above 60. So we take another 2,000. So now instead of 4,000 a day, you take 6,000 a day. And you do that for another 90 days, and you test it again. And maybe after another 90 days on 6,000 a day, you go, aha, I'm at 64. That's in the range that David Getoff likes, or that's in the range that this article likes. So that means the amount you're taking is holding you in the proper place, and you can simply keep on taking it. If you want to make doubly sure you're not still creeping up, which is pretty unlikely, but you want to make doubly sure, then stay on that dose, and a few months later, test it again. And of course, RD goes up and down, because the body uses it, so the next time you test, it could be 62, it could be 58, it could be 68. That's fine, you're in a good range, keep taking it. What are some of the reasons to be taking vitamin D? So I now have in front of me a disease incidence prevention chart based on serum 25-hydroxy vitamin D levels. This chart was put together by Grassroots Health, and you can find them online. They're a nonprofit group that's doing a lot of fabulous research on vitamin D. So, based on a whole bunch of published research studies that are on this chart, but I'm not going to read them all off to you, this does have all the citations. Actually, I may read a couple of them off. So it says, multiple sclerosis. If your vitamin D level is above 50, your risk of getting multiple sclerosis is reduced by 80%. And it says the multiple sclerosis came from a Munger, K.I. et al. Published in JAMA in 2006 on page 296. Then it says that your risk of stress fractures is reduced by 80% if your vitamin D level is above 52. Okay, the stress fracture study was Burgi et al., and that was JBMR, I don't know what that journal is, in 2011. And it says that let's grab another one of these. Your risk for developing type 1 diabetes is reduced by 50% if your vitamin D level is above 36. And that was Grant, WB et al., in the Molecular Nutrition Foods Research in 2010. So these all have citations, and there are a whole bunch of different things in here. For example, gestational diabetes, having to do with pregnancy, your risk is reduced by 75% if your vitamin D level is above even 32. Mortality, all causes, in other words, your risk of dying is reduced by 50% if your vitamin D level is above 44. So because if your level is above about 52, all of these risk factors are in the lowest percentile, and because nobody has any kinds of overdose reactions until you're way, way above 100, I like people to be between 60 and 80. So the things that it's got in this article are just so, so totally ridiculous. And I, you know, people will look at this article and they'll go, oh my, maybe I should stop taking my vitamin D. No. Oh my, maybe I'm taking too much vitamin D. I don't know. How about instead, oh my, when was the last time you got your vitamin D tested? So you get your 25-hydroxyvitamin D3 tested, and if you're not between 50 and 80, or 60 and 80, or at least above 45, then you better start taking a couple thousand a day, and after 60 days or 90 days, 90 would be better, test it again and see if you're there. I have seen people whose inflammatory markers in their body, D-dimer, I mean, a whole bunch of different ones, have gone way down when we gave them enough vitamin D to get their level of vitamin D up to between 60 and 80. I had one woman in one of my classes a couple years ago who I was going over vitamin D. She came into me the next class. She took it a couple times in a row. And she said, she raised her hand, can I say something in regards to vitamin D to the class? I'd like to give a testimonial. And I said, sure, that's not research, but testimonials are great. I'd like to hear it. She said, well, my vitamin D was about 18 or so, and my doctor was intelligent enough in the field of nutrition to tell me, that's too low. We need to get your vitamin D up. And the doctor said, so we're going to give you 50,000 units of vitamin D once a week for 12 weeks and see if it goes up. And he did that. He gave that to her. He brought her level up to about 44. And then she read about vitamin D and found out that if she stopped taking vitamin D, it was going to drop right back down to where it was before, and that she really shouldn't be taking 50,000 once a week. She should find a daily dose of natural D that holds her in the right place. So she did some experimenting and found out how much she had to take a day to hold her at about 45, because the doctor said that was a good amount. I don't remember how much she was taking, but it's irrelevant because five people of the same age, of the same sex, of the same nationality, of the same diet, of the same amount of time in the sun, of the same sex, one might need 3,000 a day to hold them in range. Another one might need 4,000. Another might need 10,000. I'm 65. I weigh about 175. I'm 5'10". And in order to keep my vitamin D in the range I want it in, I take about 12,000 a day. So anybody that tells you how much D is the wrong amount or harmful doesn't understand. D is not paint. D is not roofing tiles. D is not floorboards. D is a nutrient that your body uses every single day. And so you can't know how much to take. You can only know where your level is. So you check your level, and if your level is too low, you up the amount you take every day, and you check it again after 3 months. And if it's still too low, you up your amount you're taking every day, and you check it again. Because what you're trying to find is how much D you need for whatever your body is using it for to hold you in the right place, and the amount you're taking is irrelevant. Nobody can say, like this stupid article, that nobody could need more than 1,000 units, because many people need 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10,000 units to hold them in the proper reference range. And so it just really infuriates me when somebody says that an amount is important. No, your blood level is important. And that's what I want people to be able to look for. People should be, you know, testing to see what amount you need based on what it takes to get you to that blood level. And that's the only thing that really matters. And so everybody should go test your vitamin D. And to finish up what I was saying about this woman in my class, the testimonial that she was giving is when she took my course, and I told people that I want them to be between 60 and 80, she read a couple different articles, and she said, well, that level doesn't seem to be harmful in any way. I'm going to go ahead and up the amount I'm taking every day until I get to between 60 and 80. Well, this particular woman had fibromyalgia. It had been diagnosed by a couple of different doctors. She had been in pain for many, many years. And, you know, she tried to eat healthy, took my course, did a whole bunch of different things. The doctors were never able to help her in any way. But all of a sudden, when she boosted her vitamin D higher and got her level up above 55, all of the pain all over her body vanished, never to return. Now, is it possible that, miracle of miracles, something else just miraculously made her fibromyalgia go away? It's possible. But most likely, since vitamin D is a steroid-like hormone and therefore helps with pain in certain types of syndromes, most likely when she got her vitamin D level up, it's the reason her fibromyalgia went away. Am I telling people with fibromyalgia that it's going to cure your fibromyalgia? I am certainly not. I am saying that if 1,000 people with any kind of pain syndrome, fibromyalgia, polymyalgia, rheumatica, whatever, got their vitamin D level up to between 60 and 80, I would be surprised if some significant number of them didn't notice less pain, because vitamin D acts like a steroid, and steroids act to help the body to deal with pain. So, This has turned into a much larger recording than I thought it was going to be. But as those people that know me do know, I can't stop when there's something else I want people to know. And I'd like to add one more thing. Vitamin D and vitamin A act in a concert with one another. And so if you were building a house and there were a whole bunch of boards outside, and the contractors couldn't start putting those boards into your house because there weren't enough nails and screws around. And then the nails and screws got delivered, and all of a sudden, over the next week, all the boards got used up because they could now be put up. Did that mean that the delivery of the nails and screws caused a deficiency of boards? Because all of a sudden, when the nails and screws came, all the boards got used up. So you could say they had plenty of boards until the nails and screws got there, and then they used up the boards. No, it didn't cause a deficiency. It allowed the contractors and the workers to use the boards. Well, it turns out that the body needs both A and D, and it uses them in some similar ways together. Therefore, if you were a little deficient in A, like, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm making this number up, 90% of the public, why would 90% of the public be deficient in A? Well, because A is an animal molecule. It doesn't exist in any plants. There isn't a single molecule of A in carrots. That's got beta carotene in it. A is only in the liver of animals in a high dose. So if you don't eat, beef liver, chicken liver, duck liver, fish liver, if you don't eat liver a couple times a month, likely you don't have enough vitamin A. So let's say you're borderline deficient in A, which may be why you get sick so often. And now we bring in a whole bunch of D, and the body goes, now that I've got all this D, I can better utilize my A, but there wasn't enough A there to begin with. So somebody might say taking the D caused a deficiency in A. No, wrong. No more than it caused a deficiency in boards. Taking the D allowed your body to better utilize the A, but since there wasn't enough and it's now used it up, you also want to take A. So I always make sure that my patients are also getting a little bit of extra A. How much do I use? And no, I am not prescribing this for you. I don't even know you. I have people take about 10,000 units of A in an itty-bitty little gel cap filled with oil that says on the bottle, from fish liver oil. That's the vitamin A I use. Carlson and NOW and a couple companies have these little 10,000 unit A capsules. And I have most of my patients take one 10,000 unit A capsule unless they eat liver a few times a month. And that way I don't worry about the vitamin D causing them a quote unquote, but really not, deficiency in vitamin A, because we bring a little bit more in. So again, David Getoff being maybe more wordy than necessary, or maybe not. Thank you for listening.